Soundboard is set. We're ready to go. All right. So, that second portion of Devarim. And it has a, like, you know, if you hadn't heard the drash for the Torah portion, go back and take a listen to it. But it has a lot of good information in this portion, right? It has the Shema, and that piece of Shema that's the Hafta, that verses 7 to 9. And that's where I'm going to start off in Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 through 9. So let's take a look at that. You are to teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. They are to be as frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Sounds very familiar, right? This is our piece of liturgy, and you can see it truly is lifted directly from Scripture. It's pretty much word for word that piece of liturgy, that piece of Scripture, they match up. And I bet because we say it every week, different people have different thoughts going through their head as we say it. Sometimes people, when they say a prayer over and over again weekly, they have the same thoughts about it over and over again weekly. Yes, Lord, we ask this. Yes, Lord, let it be. Yes, and that's okay. If that keeps you on track, good. Some people, they listen to it new and afresh every week, and a different prayer comes into their mind as they say it. That's really good too. I hope that you're not saying it with your mouth and thinking about lunch in your mind. It's meant to be more than just rote. And that's what can happen when things become rote. You can say something with your mouth and be thinking other things with your mind. You can be singing a song and thinking of something else. You can be speaking liturgy and be thinking of something else. But we should be thinking about the piece of liturgy that we're speaking out. Because that's supposed to be, you know, when we speak it out, it has power. But really, it has some power, but it doesn't. It's powerless if you're just speaking it and you're not hearing it at the same time. So when we recite it, it could raise questions for us, right? It really can. You know, it says, teach it to the children. Well, maybe the question comes up, how can I learn it if I don't know, I mean, how can I teach it if I don't know it completely myself? Maybe the question comes up, and this is even more so for those who are in the secular world who hear it, or maybe there's those who are coming in who are a little bit in doubt. Maybe mostly for our Jewish brethren, their question when they hear the Shema and the Vahafta, and maybe the question that comes to their mind is, why bother? Why bother with learning the Scriptures? Why bother teaching the kids the Scriptures? Why bother? Why do they think that? They think that because they believe that as long as they live a good life, as long as they do right according to most of the people, that'll be enough, that they're going to improve the world and therefore secure a peaceful place in eternity, if they believe in eternity even. They ask, why bother? Because that question is rooted in the doubt that Scripture truly is divine, from divine origin, from Adonai himself. And therefore, they're not really obligated to live it out. If it's just words on a page, who cares? So today I want to take a look at why study Torah, why study the Scriptures. For many here today, I know that's not really a question that you guys ask. How do I know this? Because I see how prepared you guys are when you come for our Torah for Today discussion. But maybe there's someone here, maybe there's someone watching on the live stream, who that question has come about on them occasionally. Why bother? Why bother expelling the energy to learn Torah? Why bother expelling the energy to even live out Torah? And it is expelling an energy just to live out the Torah is a physical energy, it's a spiritual energy that you need to expel to live it out. It's a mental energy. It's not easy. Living Torah is not easy. No one said it was going to be. So let's first see what Torah is. Because in the simplest, Torah is the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Jewish Scriptures. But for Jewish people today, those who do not believe that the Messiah has come, especially for those, it's more than just the plain text of Scripture. It comes with a lot of commentaries, a lot of traditions, the oral Torah. And the oral Torah adds and changes, the commentaries add and changes what's written on the actual Torah, the first five books. Even changes what comes after that in the commentary of that you know, if you look at Scripture as being the establishment of God's Word, and then the prophecies of it, and then the New Covenant is really a drosh, an explanation or living out of the old. And we see in the Hebrew traditions, the rabbinic traditions, Torah includes a lot of stuff. It's the Talmud. It's the Midrash, which are commentaries. And these commentaries were established hundreds of years ago, almost 1,000 years ago plus. And according to rabbinic thought, it's still being established because every time a rabbi makes a commentary and it's accepted, it becomes Torah. So Torah is changing all the time according to our rabbinic brothers. But for us, we believe the Scriptures, the Bible, is God's Word for us. That's the reason that we study it. That's the reason that we read it and reread it. Because it's reliable and without error. It doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need all this other stuff. Yeah, it's good to have commentary occasionally, as long as it's based on what God said. Because, as I said last week, it's God-inspired. It's God's word that he put into men so that it can be written down and passed down, not so that it can be put down on paper and then changed by another piece of paper. So let's take some time and see the reasons for studying Scripture. And the first one's pretty obvious. It's a commandment. We're commanded to study Scripture. It's easy, it's straightforward. Adonai says it, so we do it. And we read in Deuteronomy 17 that Adonai instructs the king to write out mostly Deuteronomy. Some people think it's all five books, but it's Deuteronomy, to write it out so that it stays with him. Now, we don't rewrite it, each one of ourselves, well, with the exception of Nathan. Blessings. But for most of us, we don't rewrite it, but we reread it and we keep going so that it's within us. Deuteronomy 17:19 says this, it will remain with him. And we can read that as it will remain with you, it will remain with us, it will remain within us. It will remain with him, and he will read it at all the days of his life in order to learn to fear Adonai his God and keep all the words of this Torah and these statutes. Scripture says these are the reasons, and it's for the king as well as for us. Learn to fear or reverent Adonai and to keep his word. Now, it only makes sense that if we're going to keep his instructions, we have to know the instructions. For Jewish people, and I believe that's all of us who follow after him as well, the Torah is the only way to follow after him, the only way to learn his ways. Torah being scripture. Yes, we can learn from each other. Absolutely. We can learn from commentary. Absolutely. But the best way to learn is to read his word directly. Then go back and reread it. Go back and read it again, maybe with a different version. And then compare the versions. That's the best way to read Torah. We're also told that according to Rabbinic Judaism, the study of Torah is ideally done for the purpose of the mitzvot, for the purpose of following his commandment. Which means the command, there's that commandment to read, so when we read and study, hey, that's a real good start. We're doing the commandment. Studying Torah itself, following his commandments. And that's what God wants from us. It's the start of learning everything that you need to live life and how to live it as a Jewish person or a person who's grafted in the Messianic community, if you're a non-Jew, if you're a Gentile. So whether a Jewish person or a Gentile living the lifestyle of a Messianic Jew, it all brings us closer to living the way he wants us to live. Knowing his feasts, knowing his instructions, knowing his values, and making them our own. So that's the first one. He's commanded us. The next one is the natural desire to know the one who loves you. It's only natural to want to know who loves you, right? Before you got married to your spouse, you wanted to get to know them better. And maybe they've shown love to you before you were showing love to them, but it sparked you to get to know them better. It's the same thing, you know, here at the synagogue. When we come together, we show love to each other. That sparks us to wanting to get to know each other better, too. We form relationships, we form bonds together. And that's what causes a synagogue to become a family. Bonding together. When it comes to Adonai, and we may think that we found him, but it's really he who found us. He loved us first. 1 John in chapter 4 says this, we love because he loved first. We love because he first loved us. So because he loves us, our natural inclination is to learn more about the one who loves us. That's through Scripture. That's through studying his word. Because those words are not just words on a page. They're really so much more. They're Adonai himself. Those words are living words. Isn't that what we say about Yeshua? He is the living word. So we say it also of Adonai because we know Yeshua is Adonai. Adonai is the Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh is Yeshua, all one. Echad. So the word is Adonai. It's how we get to know him better. And we do it because He loved us. And we do it because we love Him. We follow what it says in Psalm 119. Oh, see how I love your Torah. It is my meditation all day. When we study Torah and meditate on it and pray through it and pray over it, what we're doing is having a conversation with Adonai. That's what prayer is, a conversation with Adonai. The one who wrote it. The one who wrote it for you. He didn't just write it for no reason, obviously. He didn't just write it for some. He wrote it for you, personally. Believe it or not, He wrote it for you. When you look at the cover, it may say Holy Scriptures or Bible, whatever your cover says, but it could just as easily say the book written for Henrietta, the book written for Nathan. It's just as easy to do that because it's just as true. It was written for you. It's written so that we can absorb it by following Him. It's written as so that we can learn it, and then we invite the Ruach HaKodesh into us so that we can hear and be counseled by Him, so that we can be taught and guided by the Ruach HaKodesh through the words that are on the page, through the words that are Adonai Himself. So that's the second reason, the natural desire to know the one who loves you. So we're commanded, it's a natural desire. And third, so that we gain wisdom and insight into life, that which we're living, so we gain that insight. Torah is clear, technical, practical. It's a guide for religious practices and proper behavior. Not just relating to Adonai, but to all our relationships, everything that we go through in life. The instructions are there in Torah. When we act on our own, we're drawn to the acts and the feelings of flesh. That's natural for us. Those things that we feel to do naturally to satisfy our flesh are not the ways of Adonai. Left on our own, if we had never read the words of Scripture, almost nobody would be following His ways. Our nature is flesh. Our nature is to go the way feels good for us. Not necessarily what is good for us, but what feels good for us. Scripture is a handbook. It's instructions on how to live. How to live in right relationship with Him and each other. Joshua 1 tells us this about Scripture in verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous and then you will be successful. Now it says, so that you will make your ways successful. But you know what it really means? So that Adonai will make your ways successful. Because when your ways become Adonai's way, when Adonai's ways become your ways, then you will be successful in every aspect of your walk in life. By learning and knowing all of the Scripture, we're able to align ourselves up with Him. Then we can know what He has in store for us. And what does He have in store for us? Victory. He's a victorious God who wants us to be victorious in life. That's His desire for each and every one of us, to be victorious in life. Because victory in life is salvation. and aligning ourselves so that we have eternity with Him. Getting to know Scripture is a way of gaining and sharpening our intellect. But we can't think that it's there just so that if we learn it, then we're actually, then we can, you know, just by knowing it, we're following it. We have to act it out as well. Can't be just head knowledge. Has to be within us, and then it has to shine through us. Has to be within us, and then we have to live it out. Not just so that others see it, but so that He sees it as well. It has to be in our hearts and our minds, so that even to the point that it becomes us, even when we're not thinking about it, we're doing it because it's part of us. That's what Scripture needs to be. Because, you know, when we're violently attacked by Satan, our mind is sometimes does not go back and say, okay, what does Scripture say about that? I know when I've been attacked, my mind will sometimes just shut down. I just want to crawl into a corner, get into my little ball, and go, woe is me. But when Scripture's within me, and I know, even when I'm not thinking about it, then I know when it's within me, I'm going to live it out. It just becomes natural to me. It becomes natural. It slows our mind down so that we can think about Him. Think of it this way. Knowing Scripture and depositing it into our hearts and mind is like a savings account. So that when we need it, it's there. That's what storing up the Word means in our heart. It's easy to do it when things are going well. But we store it up so that when things aren't going well for us. So that when we're beaten down by the enemy, we don't just automatically move into sin. Psalm 119, starting in verse 9, says this, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Let me not stray from your mitzvot, your commandments. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you." That's the reason to store it up, so that we don't sin against Him. Excuse me. By studying Torah, we place the word of Adonai in our hearts, and it keeps us from sinning. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful not to fool ourselves into thinking that just that knowledge is enough to save us. It's not a head knowledge that's going to save you. You can memorize Scripture from front to back. That's not going to save you. And we're told in John 5 that when the Judean leaders came to Yeshua and started pressing on Him, Yeshua said this about their study of Scriptures and what they believed. John 5:39. "You search the Scriptures because you suppose that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, yet you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." We need to ensure that we're not fooled into thinking that it's the Scripture that brings us life, but that it's Scripture to bring us to the one who gives us life. Again, it's a heart attitude. It's the heart attitude that counts. The important thing is that what's in your heart gives credit to what your heart gives credit to salvation. You don't give credit to Scripture for salvation. You give credit to Adonai. You give credit to Yeshua, the one Scripture points to. Yeshua, who's that free gift, that salvation gift. So, we're commanded It's a natural desire to know who loves you. We gain wisdom and insight. And it's always changing and never changing. Torah is always changing and never changing. What a strange thing. It doesn't change. We can read and reread scriptures just like we do with the Torah cycle, right? What happens after we finish the Torah cycle? We don't go, okay, we're done. We start over. We do the same thing with scriptures. And each time we do this, new ideas come out. Sometimes from the very same scripture. You can read a piece of scripture 1 year and say, this is what it means. And then you read it the next year and say, I got something different out of it this time. It didn't mean that the last thing wasn't true. It just means the Ruach shows us different things. It just means our experiences are different. So we see the word from a slightly different angle. We get a slightly different look at it. Each time we start to read scripture, it's different because of our experience level as we're reading it. Each time we finish reading scripture, we're different because of the different things that are that the text points out to us. Ecclesiastes says that there's nothing new under the sun, but it can still be new, totally new to us, what it's saying to us. Each time it speaks personally to us and it can say something totally different. Not contrary, but different. We can see things that are new and different and true every time we read through it. And, you know, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. It's true. Most of the time when you read something and it's new and it strikes you like a lightning bolt, someone else has probably thought about it. You'll find it in a commentary somewhere. But that doesn't mean it's not new to you. And that's great. And that's what we look for. That new and amazing thing that comes through Scripture. Because we reread it and reread it, and the Ruach shows it to us in every different time. He turns it a little bit so that we see something new. That is the wonder of Scripture. And finally, we read Scripture and put it within us so that we can help others. When we're filled with the Scripture by studying it, then we can become a help to others. We're able to say things that Scripture's brought out to help bring comfort to people, to help bring strength to people, to help them see Scriptures a little bit differently. We're able to say that we live the way that Yeshua told us to do in Titus 2. In the first verse of Titus 2, it says, but as for you, speak things that are fitting for sound instruction. Now in the NIV, it says it this way. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. This was told to Titus to go out and teach rightly. But it's also for us. And we're all teachers. Don't think just because I'm the one who sits in the pew that you don't teach someone. You teach them either by your words or by your actions. You have to be careful what you're teaching them. Are you teaching them to be more like the world, or are you teaching them to be more like Adonai? That means as we become more mature in the Word, we become disciplers. Each one of us becomes a discipler. It's by the way we speak. It's by the way we act, what we teach other people. That's how others are going to learn who Adonai is, through you. It's not the congregational leader who stands up here that's going to teach most of the people to come to Adonai. It's you guys who are out in the world, who are speaking to the world, who are influencing the world that are going to invite the people in so they can hear more of the word. But probably the first exposure to the word is going to be you guys as you work in the world. Doesn't mean you're part of the world. It just means you're working in that world to bring others to Adonai. So we strive to educate our children. We educate our communities, our families. We even educate ourselves to understand what Torah is saying. Because Torah is a vital, dynamic text, as relevant today as it was 2,000, 4,000 years ago. The Bible is not just for us to keep to ourselves as individuals. We gain centuries of wisdom through the words that we read, through the words that are shown to us by the Ruach HaKodesh, principles and understandings that we can use to assist other people as well as ourselves. Words that have to be in our heart, not just in our head. They have to be in our heart. And the only way they become in our heart is to meditate and study on them. Now, I read a quote that said, Torah study is not just an intellectual exercise, but a pathway to living out eternal values. And I would add to that, that being on the pathway of Torah and living it out, we live out the values of Adonai, and therefore we live in and find the favor of Adonai. Father, we thank you that you've given us your words so that we can live in your favor, that we can live out your commandments. We thank you that you've given us abilities. I ask that you give us even greater abilities of wisdom and discernment as we read your word, so that they can become even a greater part of us. Regardless of how great of a part it is already, it can always be more. So Ruach HaKodesh, help each one of us to study, to learn, to meditate, to share your word to all people. We just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.